Hi, I'm Sanjay Park.
And I'm Adam Walker.
And this is Tech Talk, y'all.
Yeah, first episode of the new year. We're
excited. Happy New Year. Happy New Year, Adam.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, too.
Yeah, how was the new year?
It was good. It was good.
Did you guys do anything?
All of my kids actually stayed up until midnight, and no one was in tears at the time. I mean, other than me, possibly, but like nobody else was in tears.
So. We were barely up until midnight. We were in England.
I didn't want to be up till midnight.
I wasn't happy about it. It's kind of another day, right? It's like
it wastes another day. It was good. That was good, though.
Good. Just got to keep remembering, right? 2018 instead of 2017. This is my problem until like mid-February every year.
So this podcast we've decided, by the way, for our listeners, is now going to be called a tech comedy podcast, where we talk about some intelligent things and we make one another laugh and potentially make like five of you laugh. That's kind of the goal.
I think that's a stretch of saying some intelligent things.
Yeah, well, one intelligent thing per episode and one laugh per each of us per episode.
Yeah.
That's really my only goal. It's a pretty good goal, right?
I think we'll get there.
Yeah, I'm going to say I'm funny. People will believe it. And we're going to keep on going from there.
Yep.
It's going to be awesome.
So we need to give a shout out to Prototype Prime where we record this podcast.
Glad to be here. Always
fun to be here recording the podcast. And also, I wanted to give a shout out to one of our listeners, Morgan Lopes.
Yeah, Morgan. Thanks for those pins. He produced some cool pins for us.
Without telling us, he made us some pins for free.
He called me up. He's like, Adam, I got something for you. And I went and got them. I was like, hey, this is awesome. Thanks, man.
So we know that Morgan, in theory, listens to the podcast, right?
He listened to one, at least.
At least one.
Minimum.
And got our logo and made these. But these are awesome pins. I love them. Well, I've got one on my bag. Thanks a lot, Morgan, for doing that. And now we've got both Adam and I have more swag to give away. So if you see either one of us out in the wild, and you want a Tech Talk Y'all sticker or pin?
Ask for it. And if you win the game, which we're playing today,
boom boom, the game.
So the game is pretty simple. During each episode, we try to reference something that's a collaborative theme. And the first person that tweets and lets us know they figured out what the theme is wins the game, and we'll send them some swag.
There you go.
Just for fun.
Yeah.
Just some incentive to listen.
And we'll announce
and
their name in the next episode,
of course,
too.
Yeah.
So they get some props
to
the six people that are listening to the podcast.
So speaking of the next episode, in this episode, we got some really cool stuff. So first, we're going to talk about cell phone cancer and the dangers of it. Next, we're going to talk about no lines at Kroger, which I still do not believe. Google's AI voice, Bitcoin philanthropy, a new and awesome app that you're going to love and I might, and Netflix hilarious tweet. Let's get started. You ready?
Let's do it.
All right. So California is saying that one of the only safe ways to use your cell phone is to either text or use it on speakerphone because of the radiation that comes out of it. So they're saying, like, don't put the phone in your pocket. Don't hold it up to your head. Use Bluetooth or other kind of headphones instead because they emit less radiation.
Okay.
And they're basically saying there is, to some degree, a legit cancer risk from your cell phone, which I've kind of always believed in theory, but I've never seen it, like, you know, a state. Saying it. Yeah, it's fascinating, right?
Yeah, so, you know, we actually, I'm interested in this kind of stuff and always thinking about electric fields. I don't know if you've seen the research. There's been, like, this correlation of people that live near high tension power lines.
I've seen that.
And leukemia.
Yep.
And so, you know, when we've looked for houses, I've thought about that and I look around to see where we're living and stuff. So you can actually buy a meter, and I bought one off of Amazon, and it was like 60, 70 bucks.
Cool.
And it'll measure electric fields, magnetic fields, all these different kinds of fields.
Nice.
And so initially my thought was to understand kind of what was happening in our house. So wanting to measure the microwave and seeing how much leakage there was.
Right.
And so if you know the physics of it, so every, the distance, the power drop off is the distance squared.
Okay.
Right. So the further every foot you get away kind of helps tremendously, you know, up to a point.
Right.
And so I started measuring when the microwave was on. And it's incredible to see how much power is coming out of the microwave.
Yeah.
Even though in theory it's supposed to be shielded and everything stays inside, right?
Shielded in air quotes.
Yeah, shielded.
Yeah.
Right. Shielded for the things that will actually cook your organs, but the other stuff gets leaked out.
It's not as bad as it could be, but it's still not good, right? That's the thing, right?
You know, it's funny. When I was growing up, I had a friend and I was at his house and he told me their microwave had gone bad or something. And apparently the microwave would turn on when the door was open. And I was like, dude, this is
it's a possessed microwave.
This is not good.
It's a possessed
microwave. Well, no, you could turn it on. It wouldn't turn on its own.
Oh,
you could turn it on
while the door. Oh, that's real
and
bad.
Leave the door open.
Yeah, that's
and,
super bad.
And yeah, I was like, you need to get rid of that.
You should
like,
stop
don't,
doing that.
Don't, yeah. So, anyways, you know, I realized that we needed to stand at least 6-7 feet away from the microwave. So we try to do that now all the time. You know, like turn it on and run away. From the microwave. But then I thought, hey, let me check out the cell phone too. And measuring the kind of radiation coming out of the front and the back. So the glass side and the back side. And I discovered that there is more out of the glass side than out of the back side.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And so the problem for me is that I always put it in my pocket with the glass side towards me.
Yeah, to protect the screen,
of course. To protect the screen.
It's the most logical thing you would do.
That's what I feel like everybody should do.
I feel like that's what
do.
Everybody does.
Does everybody? But, I've never had that survey.
I've never had that conversation with somebody, but I feel for... I'm going to do that on the street.
For guys.
Just randomly. Like, I'm going to go random guys
this,
on the street. Like, listen... How do you put your cell phone in your pocket?
Because most women, I think, put them in their purse, right?
Probably.
Yeah, they don't.
Yeah. But but based on what you're saying, we should flip it. We should put glass side out to have less radiation being drawn into our
Which means
our,
you're going to be buying phones all the time because you're going to be cracking the screen.
But, man, we're buying phones all the time anyway.
Well,
I mean, they got us hooked.
Are you? Because last time, on the last episode, you said you waited like three generations.
I usually waited two generations.
Two generations, right?
But still, I feel, that's a lot of buying cell phones every two generations, man.
Maybe we should always buy the insurance from now on if we're going to do the screen out.
Oh, it's I don't know. I don't do insurance. So this is what's fascinating.
You
so,
don't do. No. You live on the edge. No insurance
for
you.
For screens. So this
no
what,
car
this
insurance. No health insurance.
I just fly by the seat of my pants. I'm just going to hitchhike home. I don't need Uber. So the iPhone manual actually the iPhone 5 manual actually said you should carry iPhones a full 10 millimeters away from your bodies, which is 0.39 inches. And
so
if it's
one centimeter,
if it's in your pocket. It's not. It's 0 inches. You know what I'm saying? Like from your
it's
body,
right so up it's, to your leg.
Yeah. So I mean, even iPhone's own guidelines recommend that you not carry it in your pocket, which I did not ever realize that.
Is this an opportunity for a clothing line with RF shielded pockets towards you?
Yes. That is absolutely an opportunity. Why are we just now? I gotta go. I'll see you.
Let's take the domain name RF pockets. RF shielded pockets.
.com.
We'll create a whole
shield.com.
We'll create a whole line of add-ons for your pants that you sew into the pockets to shield you from the bad radiation.
All right, this
is awesome.
By the time this podcast,
why are we doing
launches,
this podcast?
We're going to have that up. It's going to be happening. So I know. I just think it's interesting. So just some of the guidelines. Here's part of the list of things that you're supposed to do. First of all, it says when you talk on your phone, don't hold it up to your head. Use it either Bluetooth.
So don't use it as a phone.
Don't use it as a phone. Second, when send text messages instead of talking on the phone, which, I mean, honestly, half of us want to do anyway, right? If we're really being honest. It also says if you're streaming or downloading large files, don't hold it up to your head. I don't know why you would do that. Like, why? You're not going to stream Netflix, like, holding it. Like, let me put it right in front of my face while I stream Netflix. I don't know. And then it says...
maybe there's a use case we don't understand.
Yeah, maybe. It also says, carry your cell phone in a backpack, briefcase, or purse, not in your pocket, bra, or belt holster. So, but a belt holster is going to be, you know...
away a little bit, right? That's what I was wondering.
Listen, I'm not going back to a belt holster.
Is this bringing back the belt holster?
No, that is never happening. I hated the belt holster when it was popular. I'm definitely not going to use it now. I'm just saying.
But
never
hey,
happening.
It's about your health and safety.
Yeah, I would rather...
Do you care about looking cool or about your health and safety?
Adam, don't be so vain. I'm going to go with both, and I'm not going to do the belt holster. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go with both. I'm going to say yes to that.
I feel like I should just carry my phone around with like a fishing line and a pole and just keep it away from me at all times.
So this is interesting. Since I read this article, I'll say this, and then we got to move on to our next story. But since I read this, I have been more intentional about taking my phone out of my pocket and putting it on my desk.
Whenever you sit down,
because I'm usually not like walking where it needs to be in my pocket,
right?
And then like when I'm walking through the house, I'll often just grab it and just hold it in my hand instead of necessarily having it directly next to my body.
So just cancer in your hands instead of
just
on your
cancer
leg.
In my hands instead of on my leg. But I'm holding glass out on my hands.
Glass
so,
out, okay,
you know,
yeah,
that's something. So I mean, I feel like at least it's semi proactive. It makes me feel better about it. That's what I'm trying to say.
As long as you feel good. That's
all right, next story. You ready for this next story?
Let's do it.
I don't know if I believe this next story. So the next story is, the title is, Kroger is taking a direct shot at Amazon and Walmart and making checkout lines obsolete. So here's the thing, okay? There's always a freaking line at Kroger, and it's always crazy long. Like, that's the main reason I don't like Kroger. Like, and they've supposedly done, like, you know, we're going to have more cashiers and stuff in the past. But no, that's never my experience. It's always a line. I have a beef with Kroger about this. But they have this new technology, and the new technology basically works this way. The theory, and they're rolling out into 400 stores in 2018. So that you walk into Kroger, right, and you either take your smartphone with an app that allows you to scan items, or you take one of their scanners if you don't have a smartphone.
Right.
And you walk through the store.
which probably has high usage for people that are at Kroger, but okay.
Possibly. So you walk through the store, and you scan every item that you put in your cart. Grab it off the shelf, scan it, drop it in the cart. Grab it off the shelf, scan it, drop it in the cart. Then you walk to a self-payment center, and you basically, you know, hold the scanner up to it, I guess. I don't know, plug it in, whatever it is. Swipe your card, pay, and you're done. You walk out the door.
Right.
Now, of course, eventually they're going to get rid of the self-payment centers, and you literally will walk into Kroger, scan, pay in the app, and then you just walk right out of the door. And that's the dream right there.
Yeah.
That's the dream.
So, you know, actually, now that I said it, I think I would probably use their scanner instead of my phone.
Really?
Because installing their app on my phone might expose a bunch of other stuff to them that I don't want them to have access to.
You're a security-minded individual.
There you go.
So there
exactly. So I was just making fun of the people that didn't have smartphones, but even if you have a smartphone, you might want to use
it. It might be the smart play not to use the smartphone.
Exactly.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, keep it in your pocket and get cancer on your leg.
So, I mean, I'm excited about this technology. Amazon Go is trying to come out with similar technology. They're working on it.
I find it hard to believe that Kroger will beat Amazon in this. I just looked up the market caps of both of them. Kroger's at $23 billion. That's respectable.
Yeah.
Amazon's at $530 billion.
Well, so I feel like, you know, with this stuff, so when you're talking about, like, Kroger versus...
Sorry,
like,
$580 billion.
Oh, just $580. When you're talking about, like, Kroger versus Amazon or Kroger, I feel like Kroger... I feel like when I look at Kroger, I'm looking at like an old version of something. You know, like it just
right.
it feels like it's for like version
1.0. The old like, timey grocery store.
Yeah, like I feel like I should turn around and when I'm in Kroger and see like Marty McFly standing there, like, you know, from Back to the Future. Like what is really happening here? Like it's almost like a time warp every time I go
exactly.
to Kroger.
Exactly.
Like, totally. Like I go into like Publix and it feels like, oh no, this is fresh. You know, this is new and it's evolving, but it just feels like a time warp every time I walk in there. It's interesting to me.
Same thing with Whole Foods, right? Yeah. I mean, and Whole Foods is where Amazon is, obviously.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think Kroger has more problems than just how quickly people can get the hell out of there, right?
I want to get out of there as fast as I possibly can. I'm just saying.
And don't get me wrong, I've gone to Kroger's too, and even recently, sometimes you just need a few things, but
yeah,
that's not our primary place to shop.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on. So this is fascinating. So Google's voice generating AI is now at this point, at this moment in time, right now, indistinguishable from a human voice. So let me rephrase that so that it's just very clear. So I'm going to play for you a recording. I'm going to play for you two recordings. One is of an actual human speaking and the other is of Google's AI. And you tell me if you can tell the difference.
We probably should have planned this a little bit better.
It's good, man. It's going to be great.
We have a way of plugging in your computer.
Do we?
Yeah. Hold on. Let's try this.
All right, now that we're good with technology, we've got it all plugged up, we're good to go. So I'm going to play two recordings back to back. One is a human, one is an AI. Tell me which is which.
George Washington was the first president of the United States. George Washington was the first president of the United States.
Can you tell a difference?
No, not at all.
Is that not scary?
That is scary.
So now we've got AIs where you can edit videos and make someone on a video that's not you say anything they want and it looks completely real. And now you can also take a person's voice with an AI and make it say anything you want.
So the use case here is
you can fake anything.
Well, yeah, we knew that from, you know, Adobe had the thing with basically the audio editing thing where they could make anybody say anything. Now this is AI saying it.
Yeah.
So the use case here is what? To have more natural sounding robots and
I think it's better prank
like
calls.
That?
I think it's better prank calls.
Better prank calls.
Yeah, so instead of those little things you used to call and like you could have like Arnold Schwarzenegger sayings and like hello, you know, like I'll
be
back in that.
Could we use this for our podcast where you and I just type out everything that we're gonna say and then it just does it?
That's for sure. Yeah.
And it'll be funnier.
It'll be even funnier because we can premeditate our jokes.
And then you know what we could do? we could stick it on like Amazon Mechanical Turk and have other people write the script for us.
Even better.
We don't have to do any.
And
it's our
we're
voices.
Not doing anything. It's our voices.
And we just collect the billions of dollars that we make on this.
And we don't even
podcast.
Have to do anything. And we're not responsible, except that we are responsible.
And we don't make any money on this
That's
podcast.
That's absolutely true, too.
I think this whole plan just
Your whole plan
apart.
Is flawed. Why are
Dang
we here?
It. Dang it.
But I don't know. I think what fascinated me about this is, now we're talking about how AI can be, I mean, human-like. Like, you can have a conversation with an AI in the very near future or possibly now.
Right.
And it be indistinguishable from a conversation with a human being.
That's crazy.
I don't even know what to say about that, man.
So this is the Turing test, right? So can you tell the difference between... So this is, I guess, one part of it.
Yeah.
The AI has to be actually good enough to be able to hold up a conversation.
Yeah, I mean, like, so
throw
I would
things
have,
at it.
So the way I would test it, because, you know, at some point you're not going to know if you're talking to an AI or human, especially like with customer service or something. So you got to tell it a joke to test that thing. That's the thing.
Right.
If the AI laughs or, you know, doesn't laugh, then obviously it's an AI, clearly. Why else would you not laugh at my joke?
Or it was,
what are you trying to say, Sanjay?
I'm not saying anything. I didn't say anything. I just know our track record of jokes on this podcast.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And the lack of humorous responses back from our six listeners.
I make myself laugh. It's cool. So, all right. So, moving on then. I just think that's fascinating.
It's pretty cool.
It's good to be on our radar, really.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it's going to become harder and harder to know if you're talking to an AI. And I think that's where it's going to come in is customer service, by the way.
I think
that's really where it's going to happen is there's going to be an AI running customer service when you call Comcast or whatever. And it's going to be an AI that's like, okay, what's your account number? Okay, what's your this? Why not? Right?
Yeah.
And you won't be able to tell the difference anymore.
Well, you know, what you could do then is you could have an AI for each actual human person that you have there.
Right.
And have the AI take care of all that easy stuff.
Yeah.
Right? What's your account number? What's your this? What's your that? Right?
And so then AI it patches over. On the customer side is what you're saying.
No.
You put an AI on the customer. My account number is this. And it gets the actual real person.
Although that
AI.
Would work too. I was actually thinking on the company side. So you could collect all that information and then patch over seamlessly to the real human that has the same voice.
I see.
And the customer's not going to know the difference.
Yes. That's exactly what I think will happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be amazing.
Oh, that's fascinating.
But on the customer side, we should do that. That'd be amazing too.
Oh, yeah. We should totally do that too.
Like, have an AI that gets you to the real person.
Yeah.
Only
I have people, I don't know why, but I don't like talking on the phone, right? I just don't enjoy
it. It's not just you.
Yeah. And so I'd much rather talk to people on email or Twitter or in real life.
Right.
Like, I love talking to people in real life, face to face. On the phone, it just doesn't do anything for me.
Right.
And there's some people that just insist on having phone calls.
Yeah.
And I don't understand it.
I'm the same way. I'm good. Just, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good with that. Yeah. I don't do the phone calls. All right. Next story. So meet Pine, the Bitcoin philanthropist who set up the $85 million Pineapple Fund. Tell me about this one, man. This
is
real interesting.
Fascinating. So it seems like quite possibly the first large philanthropic gift from somebody that has made a lot of money on Bitcoin.
Okay.
We don't know who this person is.
It's just Pine.
Pine.
Pine is the person.
Totally anonymous. They've not exposed who they are.
Okay.
They are giving away $85 million to random causes, $85 million worth of Bitcoin.
In Bitcoin.
In Bitcoin.
So they're transferring the Bitcoin itself, not, not dollars.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
which then somebody will obviously liquidate into dollars.
Clearly, but they've got to actually have the ability or at least knowledge base to do that.
Right.
Which is not that hard, you know.
I don't remember now. Are they putting it into a fund that will then disperse these money, whatever it is.
Either way,
it's a fascinating thing, and I think about a lot of kind of results from this. Like one, like what are the tax implications here? Like if
that's like, great question.
If the IRS or nobody else knows that this person has this money, is it an issue? Like I don't know.
Yeah, that's
right?
A great question.
Because there's the theory that you could do this anonymously. If you know what you're doing, and this person probably knows what they're doing,
right?
Right. Yeah. If they're giving away $85 million, they clearly have more than that.
Right.
And are we going to see more of this? Are we going to see donations like this, being able to donate to people and do it more anonymously? I mean, you could do anonymous donations now through intermediaries, but, still somebody always knows who you are.
Right.
Nobody knows who this person is.
No, there's no
guy,
there's
gal,
no way to know.
Group of people. We don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting. I think it's starting to unlock some of the value and the usability of crypto assets like this and bring them into the mainstream.
Right. Right. Yeah. I think it's fascinating, and I'm excited about it. And I think I need to try to figure out how to apply for some of that cash for my nonprofit 48 and 48. So
yeah, me too, for Prototype Run.
See, but, there you go.
By the way, are you still holding on to Ripple?
I've got some, yeah.
It's zoomed.
Isn't it like $3 now? $3 or $4?
I don't know. I didn't get any of it. It was a whole bunch. Too much of a pain.
I bought very little of it. But yeah. I mean, you know, my $16 worth of Ripple is now probably worth like $30 or something.
Bam!
$50 maybe. Yeah. So,
I don't know if you saw, but it took a little bit of a dive the other day because Coinbase said they're not adding any more.
I don't know if I buy that. And man. I think they'll add it at some point.
I think that's right. Yeah. I think it's fascinating, though, to see this kind of consolidation of power that Coinbase now has. And they can move markets based on things that they've said.
They can move markets based on their blog post. They absolutely can. Yeah.
So is the SEC going to be coming down on that? Like, I don't know.
That's a great question. I mean, it was a simple blog post. And they didn't even, they just simply said we're not adding any currencies right now.
Right.
That was it. But I mean, the speculation was, oh, crap, they're not adding Ripple. I mean, like,
so what does that mean?
You know, so Ripple's going down now.
Right. And, you know, they were investigating some insider trading around Bitcash.
I did not know that.
So, yeah, apparently when they were about to add Bitcash, there might have been some insiders, some employees that front ran that and bought and sold or whatever Bitcash, knowing that it was going to run up after they announced that they were adding it.
Interesting.
And they're like, yeah, that's not okay. And so they're doing some investigations around that. Obviously, to prevent them from getting hammered by
Ripple.
The SEC or somebody. Yeah.
Well, they can't do it again either.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so next story. Researchers discover two major flaws in the world's computers. You're going to have to fill me in on this one, brother.
This is a big deal. So it kind of originally came out. It apparently was not supposed to be exposed this early, but there were leaks and rumors about it. The two are Spectre and now I forgot the other one. It starts with an M. Meltdown? Meltdown.
That sounds right.
I think that's right.
Yeah, that's it. Meltdown.
Yeah, Meltdown and Spectre. So it's kind of technical what this is, but basically what happens is that there is a way for an application on a computer to be able to force and read the memory that's being used by another application on the same computer.
Interesting.
Right? So normally if you're talking about just your computer and if it's isolated, it's not really a big deal.
Right.
But nowadays, we don't have
it's
that,
an internet-connected device.
You have an internet-connected device. You've got all kinds of applications. You're downloading apps. And this, by the way, also impacts smartphones as well.
Yep.
But the place that it's probably the biggest issue is in these cloud hosting providers.
Like Amazon Web Services.
Amazon Web Services, Microsoft Azure, you know, Rackspace. Kind of go down the list. DigitalOcean, any of those. Where you're not running in isolation on a machine, you're on a machine with a bunch of other people at the same time.
Right.
If any one of those is a bad actor, then
that machine can get compromised.
Yeah, your app that's running on there and your user's information that's running on that
can get pulled from that memory.
Exactly, and get compromised. That's bad mojo right there. Yeah. And it's funny, you know, my wife asked me, well, you know, we use Amazon Prime Photos and things like that. And she's like, oh, is that going to be an issue for that? Because they're talking about, she asked me about this because she heard about it on NPR. I'm like, how did you hear about this? Was just a day or two in. I'm like, how did you hear about this thing? This is like super tech nerdy stuff.
That's awesome.
And it's already that mainstream. But I started thinking about it. I don't think there's really an issue if you're using Amazon's services,
right?
Like Prime Photos and things like that. Because more than likely, I don't know this for sure, but more than likely, those applications and things like that they're running are segregated from AWS. Right. They're not going to run on the same hardware. And I think I've kind of seen this before when AWS has had issues, Prime Photos and things like that don't
still
go down, right? They're totally different infrastructure. They've just taken their learnings from their internal projects and opened it out for everybody else.
Yeah.
But here's the issue with this kind of problem. This has been around since like 95 in processors.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's been around for a long, long time. Some of the fixes are starting to roll out now.
Yeah.
There's patches for Linux already. I think macOS is getting it. Windows will probably get it next week.
Yep.
But some of the fixes will degrade the processor performance by up to 30%.
Wow.
So your processor, you know, this is like the Apple battery thing, but they're telling everybody that this is going to do this.
Yeah, it's going to slow you down.
It's going to slow you down because that's the way to prevent this leakage from happening. Yep. For regular folks out there too, you got to think about the applications that you're running as well. It's been it's come out that the Firefox folks have said there is a potential vulnerability in the browsers as well.
Right.
So there is a new update. I saw it either this morning or last night to Firefox that helps fix this. Chrome's update is not going to come out until January 23rd.
A long time to wait.
I know. Oh, so be careful about the sites that you go to.
Yeah.
Maybe think about turning off JavaScript if you're concerned about this. If you turn off JavaScript, you should be safe.
Right.
Won't guarantee you're safe, but you should be safe. And then Internet Explorer and Edge browser, I think, should be coming soon
as well. If you're listening to this podcast, why are you using Internet Explorer and Edge? That's really the question.
What's amazing is there's so many people that still do.
Okay. If you're listening to this podcast, please stop using those.
Yeah. Firefox or Chrome.
Whatever you can do, just please stop.
Yeah.
Just stop.
I would say you should use Firefox as my recommendation last time.
I'll just use anything other than
use the Lynx text-based browser.
Yes, that would work.
Text only.
I'm fine with
that.
I'm good with that. Yeah.
Text only.
I'm actually better with that. Yeah.
Actually, if you text only the internet, you won't have an issue with this stuff.
That's a true point.
There you go.
So this is good. There's one quote from this article that I like that I thought I'd share real fast, and then we'll move on to the next one. It says, he says, "We've really screwed up. There's been this desire from the industry to be as fast as possible and secure at the same time. Spectre shows that you cannot have both." So
that's going
to be an interesting move forward. I mean, is it going to reduce speeds over time to be more secure?
Well, I'm sure what it's going to do is whatever projects Intel has and AMD has right now for new processors, there's probably a redesign underway right now.
Oh, yeah.
And that's going to push out the times that new processors, there's going to be a bump at some point.
Yeah.
You know, more kind of the usual thing that they've been doing is every 18 months there's a new processor. There's probably going to be a bump at some point where it's not 18 months. It'll be 24 months or even 30 months because of this issue.
I'm fine with that. I mean, I use computers forever, like for years and years and years. So I'm good.
Exactly. I mean, you know, as long as you know what you're doing.
It's going to matter to somebody. You don't.
I mean, for the folks with intensive applications, it's going to be a problem. But for us regular humans, it's okay. So you should be updating your software. Update your BIOSes as well. A lot of people don't do that. And there were those vulnerabilities that we talked about, I think, previously.
Right.
A lot of those updates now, I've been updating. My machine is now updated. Dell has been rolling it out. Those are available. I don't know what happens with you when you have an Apple.
I honestly have
no idea. Are there BIOS updates for Apples?
I don't think there are. I think it's just the...
it's all in the thing?
I think it's all in the thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So somebody tell us.
Make sure you update your software. Keep stuff up to date.
I always keep stuff updated.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So moving on to something totally different from this, 100% different from this. HQ Trivia has built a devout following, and all of America will soon find out why. These guys were featured on, Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve.
Were they?
I believe they were. Yeah.
Okay.
I think
yeah.
I saw them on there, and I was like, "What is this?" And
so you hadn't heard about it before.
I had not heard of it before. But tell us about it. I think it's I kind of want to try it out today.
So I have not gotten to try it out because they did not have an Android version until just recently.
Okay.
I think the day before New Year's. So I just downloaded it yesterday. I forgot to do it at 9 o'clock last night.
Well, it's either 3 p.m. or 9 p.m. You play 2 times.
Yeah. So I'm going to try. I'm going to try later today.
When you should be working and you're hitting that afternoon slump and you're like, oh my gosh.
Trivia questions. Yeah, exactly.
Trivia questions. Right.
So what it is, it's a live trivia game through your smartphone.
Yep.
Let me say that again. Live trivia game through your smartphone. So
I like it.
Who wants to be a millionaire or Jeopardy,
right?
But on your phone.
With millions and millions of people.
Millions and millions of people.
Okay.
And so it's a series of questions. I think it's like 12 questions.
12 questions, right.
And if you get any question wrong, then you're out.
Okay, but if you get 12 right, what happens?
If you get to the end, then you share in a actual cash money pot that is split between everybody that got all the questions right.
That's amazing.
So you can earn real money like a real game show.
Oh my gosh.
Through this app.
That's amazing.
And it's trivia. And if anybody knows me, I am a trivia nerd. I know random things for no reason whatsoever. And so, you know, playing Trivial Pursuit, my family hates me a lot of times. Like, they'll be like, how do you know that? I'm like, I don't know. I just know it.
Right.
Someplace I picked it up.
I'm a good guesser. So I'm not a trivia
guessing
nerd,
works
but
too.
I'm actually a really good guesser, which is one of the reasons I did really well in school, honestly, is because I can guess like nobody's business. So I would like to play this just to see if I can guess my way through it, because I'm not a great trivia person, but I'll give it a shot.
But it's hard to go 12 guessing 100% of the time, right?
It is very...
It's going to be hard.
I accept your challenge.
Yeah.
I
don't know what the probability
is.
If there's four things, it's 25% on each one.
It's very low probability.
It's 25
to the
12.
Guess it.
What is that?
Very low probability.
It's very small.
Very small. But intelligently guessing, you're assuming an equal opportunity each one. But if I'm intelligently guessing each one, that's a different story, right? It's not like I'm just drawing it out of thin air every time.
It's something like 0.00000596%.
Listen, man.
That's your probability.
Listen, man. Challenge accepted. I'm just
there.
Just
you go.
Challenge accepted. It's good. It's
I
good.
Think you might have a better probability of winning the
actual lottery?
Joint $1 billion lottery. Wasn't there a drawing last night or something?
I have no idea. That's not on my radar.
The two
at all,
listen, Mega Millions. What was on the news?
I don't know.
Mega Millions and Powerball.
On my radar, man.
It's $1 billion.
If it's not on Flipboard, I don't know nothing about it, man. Or if Alexa isn't telling me, then my daily news. I don't know.
Oh, there's an advertising campaign there for it. Mega Millions on Alexa. Alexa, how do I make a lot of money?
Or on Flipboard.
Play Mega Millions.
All right. So our last story here before we get to our recommendations is kind of crazy. So it's actually. We've never done this before. We're going to talk about a Twitter status update. No, it's not from who you think it is. It's not from POTUS. Thank somebody.
Thank everybody.
It's from Netflix, actually. And so Netflix tweeted, he said, and this is...
How do you know it's a he?
I don't. Did I say that? I'm sorry.
He said.
Netflix tweeted.
It said,
to the 53 people who've watched A Christmas Prince every day for the past 18 days... Who hurt you? ? So this is both hilarious and a little weird and
a little scary if you don't understand that this could be possible.
Yeah. So so they've identified there are 53 people in the world that have watched this specific Christmas movie every day for 18 days.
Yeah.
That's great.
So here's the thing. If you don't really understand, and most people probably don't. But Netflix is really a massive data science
analysis. That's what they're about,
company,
man. Yeah.
Right? That's how they make those recommendations that are scary good.
95% likely that you're going to like this.
I have watched movies where Netflix says, there's a 30% chance you're going to like this movie. I'm like, no, I think this movie's going to be good. I start watching it. It sucks.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, okay, Netflix, I believe you. You know what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, their algorithm's crazy.
And they did that contest some years ago where they were paying, there was like $1 million prize.
For a better algorithm.
Better algorithm.
I remember that.
And it was just like a 1 or 2% increase in their performance. And it was a hard level to achieve. It took a long time for somebody to get there.
Right.
But they are really at the core of it, trying to understand what people like. And they will do this kind of analysis. So if you don't realize it, they know what you're watching.
Yeah. And
they see what you're watching all the time.
They're analyzing what you're watching in minute detail. And when you pause it and when you don't pause it and if you rewatch it and if you don't rewatch it. All of that information is aggregated, stored, and used in some capacity.
And you can't, I don't know that you can get rid of it.
You're the guinea pig here.
Is there a way to get rid of your data? Watching data there?
No, there's no way. There's no way there's a way. They'd never let that happen.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen that option anywhere in the settings.
So I think what's interesting about this is it's good for us just to recognize, number one, that we are the guinea pig. And we're the guinea pig in so many places, right? And we talk about this often on this podcast, but we're the guinea pig in a million places. In Google searches, we're the guinea pig in stores that we walk into.
That's why you should use DuckDuckGo, by the way. Boom.
That's true. We're a guinea pig in stores that we walk into that are monitoring by facial recognition, are monitoring where we go in the store, where we sit in the coffee shop. I mean, there's a coffee shop in downtown Atlanta that does facial recognition to identify users when they walk into the coffee shop, and they know, have you been there before? Have you sat in the same table before?
What?
Facial recognition.
I did not know this.
Yes. There is. I won't tell you where it is. I'm not going to say what the name is.
Okay.
But there is a coffee shop that actively does that. I've talked with people that are part of the company that owns that coffee shop. So my point is that it's all being tracked. But then there's the other side of this too, where this is really funny. I mean, do the 53 people that have watched The Christmas Prince every day for the past 18 days, who hurt you? They're saying, what is wrong with you that you've watched this movie 18 days in a row?
I wonder if any of those 53 people ever saw this tweet.
I doubt it, but man, some of the responses afterwards are really funny. Like somebody tweeted at him, why are you calling out people like that? One of them said, tweeted back and said, you're not my mom. And Netflix tweeted back and said, okay, sweetie. I'm pretty impressed with Netflix Twitter account at this point.
Yeah.
I kind of want to follow them just because this is so clever. But, somebody else said, suddenly I'm very concerned about what Netflix thinks of our Teen Titans Go viewing habits. there's the kind of that side of this too, which I think is pretty funny.
Yeah. The whole stream of replies to that initial tweet are pretty good.
Yeah, it's really good.
I've got to say, but you should all be aware that you're being watched.
You are being watched.
Yeah. Somebody's analyzing what you're doing.
Even as you listen to this podcast, you're being analyzed in some capacity.
By us.
All right. Now,
actually, not by us.
It is time for the best part of the show. I think, that everybody loves the most.
They I thought you said the jokes were the best part of the show.
That's all throughout, man. It's tech comedy. Okay, it's tech comedy.
Tech comedy.
But now it's time for the actual recommendation. So we're gonna give our tech recommendations for the day. I'll start.
Go.
So I recently got, I just got fed up. You know, I've been getting these telemarketer calls and these robocalls and just constantly, and I'm at a point now where, you know, I used to pride myself on answering my cell phone when it rang, you know, in case it was a client or somebody else. And I'm at a point now where I can't even answer my cell phone when it rings if I don't recognize the number. And that's just insane. So I finally started using Call Protect, which is powered by Hiya, I think. And it's free for people that are on AT&T and it may, and other services may have similar things. And more or less, it either lets you know it's a telemarketer calling, or I believe it's supposed to also and or block the calls so they don't ever ring at all.
Right.
And that's really what I want, is I want to get to where it blocks the calls completely. I don't know that I've got it set up like that yet.
Yep.
But I'm working on it because I'm sick and tired of getting these calls. Like,
yeah. So
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I've got that on T-Mobile, and you can set it up to say, identify them as spam/telemarketer or block them completely.
Nice.
Right there. Also interesting, the Samsung S8 actually has spam detection built in.
Oh, nice.
So I think they leverage off of Hiya or one of the other services. There's a couple of services like that. And it's integrated straight in.
Okay,
So even if you're carrier doesn't do it, you can still get it on your phone.
Nice. I mean, I think we're at a point now where we have to have a service like that. I mean, and it's just silly not to.
What I just don't understand is why these folks are still allowed to do this kind of stuff.
I think they're
I don't mean allowed to, but why somebody hasn't cracked down on them to figure out like, hey, this is where the call is coming from inside the house.
It's all spoof, man.
Yeah.
All right. What's your tech recommendation?
So my tech recommendation is the Lite L16 camera.
Ooh, I've seen that. Well, this, not in person, but I've seen videos of that. I've seen pictures of that.
This it's awesome.
What is it?
It's a camera.
Okay.
It has 16 different lenses in it. And when you take a picture, it takes 10 of the best images, the camera images, and fuses them together.
Okay.
And then afterwards on the computer, you can do the editing and kind of figure out the focus and depth of focus and change all of that stuff after the fact.
So you can this is the deal where, correct me if I'm wrong, you take one picture and then you can go to your camera and you can actually zoom in within the photo on your camera, or you can change the focal point of it.
So you can't really zoom in.
You can't zoom in.
Okay. I mean, you could in theory zoom in because the picture that comes out of it is a 52 megapixel photo.
Okay.
So that's zooming in, it's
relatively large.
It's really big, and you'll print out just fine if you zoom into a portion of it.
Okay.
But changing the focus, changing depth of field, so being able to have the subject sharp and the background fuzzy, you can do all of that after the fact.
And
the thing that I love about it the most, though, is the form factor.
Right.
So it runs Android, right? Okay. Which then now I'm thinking about like all the other things that we've been talking about.
No,
security,
don't think about that. Just keep moving forward. Know, don't even think about that. It's going to be cool.
Maybe I should just
get
Whopper, right?
It's cool.
And,
no, you're good.
For more games, and then I don't have to worry about all the security
stuff.
Get a film camera. That's what I need. Yeah, a film camera. The form factor is great. I don't have to worry about the SLR size, which I normally carry.
What is the form factor? Describe that.
So it's a little bit larger than a phone.
Okay.
So it's quite a bit thicker. It's probably about two phone thicknesses worth.
Okay. But
right?
it's like a giant
phone. So it's okay.
It's
a giant phone. Runs Android.
Roughly.
Right? So they keep doing software updates. The images keep getting better. So they keep fine-tuning all that stuff. Obviously, they can't change the hardware, but the software, the way it works with it, they can change.
Right.
And so then you just kind of post-process on the computer.
Sure.
Figure out the stuff. Export it. It takes a while to process because it's a lot of computation.
Yep.
But the images are phenomenal.
And so basically, this completely replaces your DSLR. There's no reason to even take one at this point.
So we went to England just now.
Right.
I didn't take the SLR.
Just took this.
I took this.
And this is a lot smaller.
It's a lot smaller.
Nice.
The one downside I feel like it has is it's got fixed storage. You can't upgrade the storage.
Oh, okay.
256 gigs. It's pretty big.
Yeah.
So in any kind of reasonable megapixel photos. Each photo is about 100 or so megs.
Yeah, that's
before
big.
Processing.
Yeah.
It's about 2,000 photos on there.
Yeah.
So I mean, generally you should be okay.
Yeah. For like a day.
Yeah. But processing them afterwards, you get smaller than 100 megs. You probably get about 18, 20 meg photos.
Yeah, that's great.
So, not bad.
I love that.
And I haven't printed any out yet, but I think they'll print out great.
I love that. All right. Well, Sanjay, How can our listeners find and connect with you outside of this amazingly funny podcast?
They can find me on Twitter at Sanjay. That's S-A-N-J-A-Y. My website's sanjaypark.com. No blog posts. I think I'm gonna redesign that.
Give it to
Allie. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And you can find me at AJ Walker on Twitter.
Did you almost forget your Twitter handle?
I almost did. Yeah. You can also find my blog at Adam.
Because you don't tweet yourself. Is that
I don't tweet myself. Yeah. I just tweet at you actually. Pretty much. You can also find me on my blog at AdamJWalker.com. I talk about productivity, habits, all kinds of really interesting stuff. And lastly,
and funny stuff with the family,
and funny too. Stuff with the family,
and trips and things like that. Yeah,
yeah. And last thing, rate this podcast.
Rate the podcast.
Recommend the podcast. Share the podcast. We'd really appreciate it. And that's all we got for you. Thanks for listening to Tech Talk, y'all.
There you go. We'll talk to y'all later.
And that was fun. I think it worked out well.
I think the beginning part was a little bit better.
I squeezed back in the whole tech on. So I think I might start calling.